Our scripture reading for this evening we can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 to 29. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 to 29. Here is the word of our Lord. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or fig from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruits is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Now here's our text today. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So far is the reading of our Lord. And now let's pray again. O merciful Father, please guide each of us. Give us the Holy Spirit to understand your word, and also help me to proclaim your word faithfully for your kingdom, for your glory. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear congregation, I believe all of you are familiar with Matthew 5-7, which we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ addresses the sermon to his disciples, which includes both true and false followers. The theme of the whole sermon is the gospel of kingdom. The whole sermon is about how we are to become and also live as God's new humanity. Jesus Christ concludes the sermon in chapter 7, verse 13 to 27 with a final exhortation. From verse 13 to 20, Jesus Christ uses several contrasts to demonstrate different ways to lead to the different results. The narrow and difficult way, the narrow gate, eternal life. The broad way, which is a popular, the way of the world, the wide gate, and eternal destruction. Moreover, he further warns his disciples to be watchful for those false prophets. They may look good, but inwardly they are corrupted. Jesus tells the audience that they can distinguish them by their fruits, because they are bad trees and cannot bear good fruits. And in our text today, Jesus Christ takes all the audience to the last day, the day of judgment. Our Lord is showing us the same thing, but not in the prophets, in ourselves. He gives us a shocking message to let everyone examine ourselves if we are building our foundation in Him or not, because it is dangerous for people to have false assurance. As Martin Lloyd-Jones comments, it is a danger of self-deception and self-delusion. Our theme today is two professions, two foundations, and two destinations. We will see 2 points. First, false belief. Second, true belief. Then you may have a question. What do a self-deception look like? Now let's look into our first point, false belief. I will list 3 descriptions of this false belief. At the beginning of verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, false belief has a fake profession. It's the first description. We must be careful about Jesus Christ's statement here. He's not criticizing people for saying, "Lord, Lord." Yes, true Christians must have oral professions. But is that all? Is that all? The profession of Jesus Christ can save you? No. If you do not do the will of God, if you do not believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, oral profession is nothing. It's a fake profession. In the parable passage, which is recorded in Luke 6:46, it says, "But who do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" These people who have false belief do not do what Jesus Christ teaches. And deep down, they do not believe in Him. They deceive themselves, both consciously or unconsciously. They hear the word of God and do not do it. They profess that they know God, but in works, they deny Him. Being abominable and disobedient, they are hearers only, not doers. And they're deceiving themselves. It's interesting to see this unusual phrase, "Lord, Lord." It appears in verse 21 and 22 twice. It's a real type of expression in the Bible. God called Jacob, Moses, and other children of God by repeating their name to show the deep personal affection. Moreover, they call Jesus Lord. It is Yahweh or Jehovah in the Old Testament to show his divinity, to show his power and lordship. Therefore, the language Lord here implies a personal affection toward Jesus Christ. They think they know Christ. They think they love Christ. So they cry out with such an emotional statement. But they cannot enter the kingdom. They even further defend themselves in verse 22. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? They think they're prophesying in the name of Jesus Christ, but they're telling lies. They think they cast out demons in his name. Actually, they are cast to the demons. They think they were doing wonderful works, doing miracles, speaking in tongues. No, they deceived themselves. Judas is a very good example. He proclaims the word of God. He do some wonderful work. He casts out the demons. But at last, he betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. Can Judas go to heaven? No. Can all these outward works save him? No. Likewise, those who defend themselves by all things, they think they can earn favor from God because they profess, Lord, Lord. But they're wrong. They do not do the will of God. Furthermore, they do not believe in Jesus Christ because they have a wrong foundation. This is our second description of false belief. In verse 26, Jesus says, but everyone who hears these saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. People who profess, Lord, Lord, but do not do the will of God, do not practice the teaching of Jesus Christ, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. They're just like foolish men building their house on the sand. Children, you do know what the sand looks like, don't you? You may like play on the sand. When you go to Lake Michigan or Central Lake, I saw a lake there. You may sometimes play on the beach. What do you think about the sand? It's soft and smooth, isn't it? If you put a stick into the sand, you can still easily to shake it. If you put your feet or body under the sand, you can also move it, right? Because they're not solid. Therefore, Jesus Christ is saying there, these people who do not believe in him, who do not do what he teaches, are like people who have no solid foundation. They put their foundation in everything, not in Christ. They build their false assurance on everything, but not in his word. Now I want to list some different types of people who have false assurance. And I want to each of us to examine ourselves. If we are now building this foundation on the sand, I pray that no one has this wrong foundation. First, people who have the right doctrines but do not truly understand and do not practice them. These people know all doctrines. They know the doctrine of regeneration, justification, sanctification, glorification. They agree with the Westminster Confession of Faith, three forms of unity. However, they are not saved. They do not believe in Christ. They do not have the personal relationship with Him. Can this really be? Certainly. Certainly. People can sit in the pews of a church for years, firmly believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ and His works on the cross, yet never come to the point of actually trust the same Jesus Christ as their Savior. This was the case of Martin Luther, a great theologian in Reformation history. Before he truly believed in Jesus Christ, he studied the Bible and believed in the right doctrines. If someone asked him if you believe in Christ, he would answer, sure, of course I believe it. He would confess Jesus Christ died for sinners. He would profess that Jesus Christ is his Lord. Though he would have added, I tremble at the thought. Martin Luther did not understand the gospel fully and did not trust Jesus Christ as his Savior until God revealed the truth of justification to him from his study of Romans, that he trusts fully in Jesus Christ. Second, people like the story, like the wonders that Jesus Christ performed, but they do not know Jesus Christ himself. One of my professors in seminary, he told us his story. So one day, he went to a bookstore and he wanted to buy a book written by himself. And he talked to the staff there and asked him if they have this book. And the staff told him, saying, wow, you know him? I like him. He's so great. I know he is very famous. He go to different conferences. He translates many books. I know him. I like him. And the professor said to him, really? Do you really know him? If you know him, you will recognize me when first time when I came in. So we see many times we think we know. Many times people think they know Jesus Christ. They know the miracles he's doing, he was doing, but they do not know Jesus Christ himself. Third, people deceive themselves by obeying only part of the Word of God. Those people choose to do something that they like to do according to the Word of God. But other things that against their conscience, they don't want to do. Dear friends, partial obedience is not obedience. You cannot follow Jesus Christ and at the same time love the world, to follow the world. Like the regeneration. Regeneration cannot be the partly regeneration. It's the whole being, the whole will, the whole affection are regenerated by the work of God. Therefore, these people who do only partially, they're deceiving themselves. Fourth, people who pursue extraordinary experience, but not Christ, Nowadays, more and more false teachers rising up. They teach people not according to the Bible, but according to their feelings and experience. They're pursuing the power of healing, the speaking of the tongue. They enjoy the moment when they feel intense emotion toward the Lord, because they think more emotion they have, the closer they're to Christ. They deceive themselves, and they do not have personal relationship with Christ. Fifth, people who put their false assurance in outward works. They go to church, go to prayer meetings, go to Bible studies, go to all kinds of church events. However, they treat it as obligation. Deep down in their heart, they do not worship the triune God. They do not love God. And for sure, they do not desire to obey His word. They just do it to satisfy their conscience. They're deceiving themselves. Lastly, children and teenagers, I want to speak to you. Yes, it's God's grace that you are raised in the covenantal family. Your parents teach you the Bible, teach you how to pray, teach you our catechism class. However, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? At that day, can you say, "Lord, Lord, my parents are Christian"? Can you say that? Your assurance and foundation cannot be found in your parents' religion. You must believe that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Therefore, my friends, if you are one of these, you must know all these wrong foundations are false assurance, and they cannot save you. On the contrary, as verse 27 says, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is the third description of the false belief, that their destination is eternal destruction. David Dixon comments this way: at the rain from above, the floods from beneath, and the wind from all kinds of direction, it's a picture of the trials from every direction. When the flood of persecution of the world, the stream of the corruption of your own heart, and the blowing winds of all kinds of heresy and false teachings coming up, you cannot stand firm. You cannot, because you do not have the right foundation. Your foundation is on the sand. When you come to the judgment day, you will be cast out into eternal hell. When you profess unto the Lord, "Lord, Lord," He will profess unto you, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. I never personally knew you. I never have a relationship with you. Because you do not believe in me. Because you hear the word and do not do it. Because you do not practice the will of my Father. Because you do not believe in my teaching. Instead, you practice lawlessness. You call me master, but obey me not. You call me the Lord, but surrender me not. You call me the way, but walk me not. You call me the life, but live me not. You deceived and deluded yourself. And when you proclaim that, I would deny you. I never knew you. Dear friends, right doctrines are good. Go to all kinds of church events are good. Emotion toward God are good. Religious practice such as prayer are good. However, they are not the ground of your salvation. They are not the foundation. Those outward works are not the foundation that you should build on. If you just focus on the outward work, your religious obligation, your intellectual knowledge, your emotions, your zeal, and all things other than Jesus Christ, you will fall greatly because your belief is false. Your assurance is false. And your destination will be the eternal destruction if you do not turn away to the Lord. So you may have another question. Then how can I know that I enter the kingdom of heaven? How can I have a true belief? Where should I build my foundation upon? Now we will see our second point, true belief. And I will also say some descriptions. So first, it is a genuine profession. In verse 21b, Jesus Christ says, "But he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In a genuine profession is always with genuine obedience to the Lord. You must obey the word of God. However, people who do the will of Father do not mean simply obeying the Old Testament law outwardly. Like the Pharisees. Pharisees learned, taught, and practiced the Mosaic laws from a young age. They practice these laws, but not from heart. They do those practice hypocritically to please men, to satisfy their own conscience, but not glorify the Lord. They do alms publicly and pray in front of others so that they may have glory from men. But let's hear what Paul exhorts a believer in Ephesus. He says, "Not with eye service as man pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Dear friends, you should do the will of Father, do the will of God from heart. And the will of Father ultimately means obedience to the call to the kingdom of heaven that will result in true righteousness, which is in Jesus Christ himself, because he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He came not to destroy. He came not to destroy, but to fulfill. As Martin Luther comments this way, Christ has preached and taught, namely, that we believe in Christ and be found in that calling that has the sanction of God's word and do it what he has commanded. Therefore, dear friends, a genuine profession is always rooted in the obedience of Jesus Christ. A genuine profession is that when you call upon his name, Lord, Lord, and truly bow down before him, denying yourselves and following him. A genuine profession is that you truly know how wickedness you are, and you know there's only one way. Only his righteousness can cover you. Only his righteousness can impute it to you. So God view you, regard you as righteousness because of his righteousness. A genuine profession is that you truly repent and have faith in Jesus Christ and endeavor to do good work according to the word of God. Just as what Westminster Shorter Catechism question 87 speak about. Question 87, what is repentance unto life? Answer, repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, does, with grief and hatred of his sin, turn from it unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. A true profession comes with a repentant heart and endeavor after new obedience. However, dear beloved, you cannot truly obey the word of God if you do not have the right foundation. The Pharisees think they're law keepers, but actually they're law breakers. Their outward works are superficial. They seem to honor God, but their heart is far away from God. They seem to act piously, but their inward man is totally corrupted. Why? Why? Because they have the wrong foundation. The right obedience of the Lord can only happen when you have the right foundation by God's grace. It's our second description. In verse 24 to 25, Jesus proclaims, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Children, you know what rock is like, right? They're different from sand. They're solid. When you fall on the rock, what would you feel? You would feel pain, don't you? Therefore, what does Jesus mean here? Compared to the previous foundation, this foundation is solid. When builders build a house on the rock, when all trials from all directions coming upon the house, it does not fall. So what is this foundation? Or who is this foundation? From 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 11, we know that the only rock, the only foundation is Jesus Christ. Only in the union with him you can find the stability. In other words, Jesus Christ is saying here, those who hear my teachings and believe in me and believe in what I taught and do it, they're the wise man building themselves on me. And they truly have a personal relationship with me. Dear congregation, are you the wise man or foolish man? Are you the good tree or bad tree? Are you walking in the narrow way or the broad way? Are you only have mere lip service to the Lordship of Jesus? Or do you truly repent and surrender to His Lordship? Are you just hearers or both hearers and doers? Is Jesus Christ your only foundation? Or other superficial things are your foundation? Each of us should always examine ourselves. If you are today still building on the sand, gospel is preached to you today. Will you just hear it and walk away? Or you will hear it and respond it by obeying His word. The final destination for the foolish man is hell. But for those wise men, it's the kingdom of heaven. At that place, these wise men will be filled with perfect joy and love. They shall see their Lord face to face. They shall enjoy the perfect union and communion with Him. There are no persecutions, no remaining sins, and no false assurance in the kingdom of heaven. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Oh, what a beautiful place. What a beautiful moment. Yes, dear beloved, if you are true followers of Jesus Christ, you will have different trials and sufferings. You will have many battles inside of you. Your body will be getting old, and your outward man is perishing. However, when you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, when you fix your eyes on that better country, on that eternal life, you will be comforted, and you will feel joyful, and the sweet, bittersweet tears, because you know by faith you will enter the kingdom of heaven. You will be glorified with Him. You will cry out with Paul, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And at that time, He will say to you, "I have known you, my little children. Come with me to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Dear church family, as I conclude the sermon tonight, I want to use the picture of the house builders again. If you build your house on the sand, maybe you spend millions of dollars. Maybe your house is big, beautiful, gorgeous. Maybe you put many expensive furniture, your decoration with all kinds of luxury wallpaper. The pillars in your house is made of gold. everything inside and outside is perfectly good, when the hurricane comes, what happened? It will be destroyed greatly. Can these luxury decorations save them? Save the house? No, because the foundation is weak. There's no foundation. However, if you build your house on the rock, on Jesus Christ, no matter how small your house is, maybe the house is very small, the material you use is very cheap, maybe you do not have any decoration, but now the same hurricane comes. What happened? The house does not shake at all. Likewise, no matter how zealous you are, no matter how many times you profess, "Lord, Lord," no matter how much knowledge do you have intellectually, no matter how many religious obligations you have done, if your foundation is not in Jesus Christ, all these things are vanity and will be destroyed. On the contrary, if your foundation is in Jesus Christ, no matter how weak you are, no matter how little faith you are, you will be saved. You will enter the kingdom of heaven. It is not because of you, but because of Him. Oh, what a secured foundation. What a great Savior we have. Dear friends, come to Him. Build your foundation upon Jesus Christ alone, because He is the only sure foundation. He who believes on this foundation will by no means be put to shame. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, our merciful Lord, our Jesus Christ, please help each of us when we live in this world. Help us live in the world, not of the world. Help us to examine ourselves oftentimes. Help us to build our foundation in You, the only rock, the only solid rock, the only foundation. Please help those who do not believe in You, who do not build the foundation in You. Open their heart and ears, open their eyes to see You and come to You, to repent to You, and to obey Your word. And we pray in the name of Your name, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.